right, so welcome back to the Real God for Real People podcast. I'm your host, Shoddy Shot. And man, I'm just so encouraged to be able to do these again on a regular basis. I missed this, right? And I really missed the opportunity just to share some of the things that's been going on in my life. So we had a podcast recently about understanding that life can be tough, life can be rough, but God is faithful. And understanding that in that, right, there are going to be hard times. And faith is not seen or shown in good times. It's shown when everything you had planned goes amok, goes haywire. And it's shown, okay, so how will you respond? Right. And so one of the things that I wanted to talk about, and it's kind of in the gist of some of the studies I'm doing right now. I'm about to finish up a degree program. Won't get into that too much because honestly, degrees are just supposed to be a tool to help others. I really feel that. But in the degree platform I'm looking at, I'm learning about what it means to have relationships, attachments with people, not only on a spiritual level, but on a cognitive level. And understanding what it looks like to have healthy ones, right? And so one of the things I wanted to talk about was, hey, how do we build one of the hardest friendships that you have sometimes? And this friendship is a confidant. We got a lot of single folks, so they don't have the luxury of a confidant through covenant marriage. And some people who are married, let's speak truth in this moment, we're building that level of a confident relationship in covenant, right? In marriage, because we realize as husbands, we realize sometimes we want to share everything. And the minute we do, we realize I might have overshared because my spouse, specifically husband-wife relationship, my wife was not able to process everything I just threw at her. And so sometimes husband will suffer in silence because you haven't built this confidant, this biblical confident relationship. And what you end up doing, and I had to learn this in the last 6 months to a year, you end up building these relationships that aren't confidant relationships, that things that you tell them aren't really even confidential. You find that out the hard way, but they're comrades, right? You have the same goals, you like the same things, and it's just easy sailing and you run through it. But when you build that relationship, that confidant-like relationship with a comrade, you end up putting too much pressure on the relationship. And whether it's on your side or the other person's side, you end up finding out, hey, man, oh, I really just was asking you how you were doing today. I really wasn't looking for a lot of back and forth. That's on me, bro. And how is the person who has spilled out their heart supposed to process that? How are they supposed to take that? They just shared life with you. You're like, yeah, man, I'm praying for you. But it happens. And I don't always think this happens maliciously, right? I don't think a person comes into a relationship like, hey, man, I'm just here to talk about football and that's it. But some do. But I think this happens because we don't have a clear understanding of how to build these relationships. So one of the things I want to talk about in how we build confidant relationships is being sure first we're okay with who God has made us first, right? Sometimes even in a relationship that is that confidant level, right, we're looking for them to approve something that really only God can. And it's hard. And I get it. We all want physical affirmation. It's like one of those intrinsic needs that we all have, whether we ever say it or not. Our introverts have it, but they want it digitally. Our extroverts have it, but they want it physically. But these needs that we have are ordained from God because we were ordained to live in community. But community, in my personal opinion, has levels to it, right? What Jesus even saw in his disciples is he had 12. He only took 3 up to the mountain when he truly revealed all of who he is. And even for them, they struggled. They put their face down because historically, if a person was to see an angelic being, they assumed they were going to die. You know, it happened with Jacob. It happened with Moses. And even if you think about the story with Moses, when that happened, he came down after spending time with God face to face. He was shining in God's brilliance, right? That the people almost wanted to worship him. But the struggle we all have is there's only one true confidant, but sometimes the Lord puts folks in our lives, not for just a season, but he puts them for a lifetime. And we find that they're the folks that on our worst day, we can share where we're at and they can lead us in the right direction. But if we don't know who we are first, we misplace that type of friendship on the wrong person. And every time it leads, at least in my personal opinion, to destruction. And in a place where I believe everyone needs, even your strong friend needs, physical confidants at times, right? Understanding how to find them and who they are is key. And so as I was reading a little bit more about this, and I have a little bit of scripture to talk about with it too, there's this thing called an attachment theory where if a person ends up not being able to build healthy relationships, either because of trauma or just because of opportunity, right? At a young age, they struggle in their adolescence and adulthood with actually figuring out not only social quirks, but like whether a relationship fits into a good box, right? They struggle with understanding, hey, man, are we friends or just coworkers? Is this like a relationship that's even outside of work? Like, are we friends just because we're friends at work? Or is this a relationship that, man, we can pray together, right? Man, if I'm struggling maybe financially or struggling mentally, I can call you and you can not only encourage me, but you can give me hard truths. And with a person that's struggling with a certain level of attachment, cognitive attachment delays, they're going to struggle with actually being able to distinguish what kind of relationship they're in. And a prime example of that would be the difference between a mentorship that probably felt like a friendship with David and Saul, right? David loved Saul so much that he went out to war and he wasn't even overly confident when the folks, the women back home would say, hey, David's slain his 10,000s and Saul his thousands. But what he did not realize is that his mentorship relationship was not actually one of a confidant level. It was one of a comrade, maybe even associate level, which is they weren't even friends because they were heading in the right direction. Saul only cared about what brought him glory and what brought him honor. And so they were just friends by geography because Saul had already known that the Lord had left him, right? But what I love about this story is even in this struggle, when David gets two spears thrown at him by a mentor and he's trying to understand how to process this and he flees, in his weakness, he finds a confidant, one that actually is related to the one who is trying to kill David, that being Saul, right? He finds in himself a confidant in Jonathan. And Jonathan literally takes off his royal robe as a sign to David, his loyalty, that he knows God's called him for a great work and a purpose. And he wants to be there when God fulfills that purpose. And that would be the third piece of a confidant. Every confidant in your life desires to see the purpose of God fulfilled in your life. Every biblical confidant wants that. Jonathan in this story literally goes at it with his dad while still trying to tell David best interest. Hey, man, I'm not sure. This is later in that story in 1 Samuel. If you want to read it, it's around 18 and further. He literally says, hey, man, I'm not sure if my dad wants to kill you, but I will find out. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. And in him doing that and in him discovering his dad's true intention, he literally leaves a sign that they agreed upon to be sure that David does not return. And he covers for his boy. He's like, nah, David's going back home. He needed to see some family. They had the special ceremony, sacrifice to God. They do it every year. Man, don't worry. Knowing David wouldn't return, right? But David also finds, and I think that's the piece, that wanting God's biblical purpose in your life from a confidant, David finds a confidant in his wife who is actually Saul's daughter, right? She was given to David, and ladies, forgive me, this is just what the scriptures talk about. She's given to David to see how Saul can destroy him. And she's literally used by the Lord to help David escape, because Saul had every intention of eliminating God's purpose in David's life in David's sleep, right? Where he's not even at full power to defend himself, right? The difference from a confidant and maybe an associate is you realize an associate may not even desire to see you do well. They may literally be around you to see how they can destroy the purpose of God in your life. But when you are connected to the vine, right, and you are clear on who God has in your life, and you have enough spiritual discernment to realize, man, this person actually wants to see God's purpose fulfilled in my life, you can build out a confidant-like relationship, especially if you are single and you don't have this yet, right? You can build this out so that you can start building a healthy biblical community around you. And you can really start seeing what God desires for your life, right? But in a scenario where a person has not fully been exposed to this, hasn't grown up with this, you may be on the other side of that confidant relationship, feeling like you're giving more than you're taking. And I'm just be honest with you guys, that's okay. It's a season, and the Lord may be calling you to it, to actually bring healing to someone who has not been exposed to this type of relationship. And man, what I encourage anyone who's listening, because I'm learning it too, is use discernment in those relationships. Whether you are, it feels one way for a time, but you know the Lord's called you to help walk alongside someone in their purpose. Use these relationships to help you develop in others what you desire for yourself. Because it may not be two-way. But I'm a firm believer that the Lord moves in our weakness, that the Lord both encourages and equips every saint for the sake of the gospel to share it, right, to the lost. I believe the Lord has these relationships for us. But what I learned in this season is we must first establish this relationship with God first before we can fully do this well for others. What I had learned for myself is there were places even for me that I would go to others before I would go to God and wait on his answer first. And we serve, if we're honest, based on the scriptures, we serve a God that believes in humility. He will not allow us to use him for our sake and only go to him for a last resort. He desires to have a steady relationship with us where we come to him on a regular basis. And so my moment of truth in that season is, man, God, how do I make you my first confidant? And then how do I replicate that with those you've called me to come alongside in their purpose? And I'm grateful for the folks that I thought were confidants in this season that the Lord simply revealed, hey, man, they're not. Hey, man, you might have even made excuses for them, right? Because I am a person that always wants to believe the best. And as the Lord removes some of those blinders, it's like, man, hey, no, that person is a comrade at best, right? Y'all on the same mission, but if y'all on separate missions, they're going their way, you're going there. You're going your way. And that's okay. Bless the Lord. Right, I'm not called to complete the overall mission of the kingdom of Christ, but it also gives me discernment to realize, hey, man, that's an associate, and I would not even remotely start to be that vulnerable with them for the sake of just getting some affirmation. Right, living in community can be hard, but as we grow and we learn and we discern whom God desires to be within our circle, man, we can really be effective in God's kingdom. And we also can really feel the love of biblical community. And that's just something in this season I've needed, right? I didn't grow up with a picture perfect relationship with both of my parents. Bless the Lord that he has redeemed and reconciled that in this season. I've been able to have tough conversations even with my father, and it's been fruitful. And that's something I didn't always grow up with. But in that, what I knew is it helped me begin to understand a need for biblical community and mentorship. And so I was able to build for myself. And I hope that you guys that are listening are able to do that too. Folks that desire to see God's purpose in my life, right? Folks that desire to be a place of refuge when I need to physically hear where the Lord's trying to take me. And that folks who will stir me away from things that desire to destroy me, right? And so I hope this was helpful for you guys. Like I told you, I'm so excited to be jumping back into these. I'm trying to time box them a little bit because I know we all have busy lives. And I want you to be able to circle back to them. Or if you send it to a friend, I want them to be able to listen to it and really not zone out too quickly. So on the Real God for Real People podcast, we want to talk about how a real God desires to interject and at some points in time intervene in our real life problems. So if you have feedback on how we can build confidant relationships, man, hey, shoot us an email at realgod4realpeople@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram. Shoot us an instant message on Instagram or DM. Getting a little old, guys. Right? Because I'd love to talk about that more and answer any questions that you guys may have. But I'm so encouraged to jump back with a few guests as well and just talk about how we not only can care for our spiritual selves, but our physical selves as well, so that we can begin to share the gospel out of overflow. See you guys next week. Talk to you soon.